Morning. Good to be here, not in this position, but the old truck usually, or the van rather, goes straight at Hydersburg when we come out there Sunday mornings, but this morning it turned left, but down here we turn right, so hopefully we made a right turn. Many thoughts this morning through our hearts as we look into this lesson of the heart and the eye and the hand. Gonna dissect them apart this morning, and then at the close, I trust, put it back together again and have them to live for the Lord. If you're dead in trespasses and sins this morning, then we'll perform an autopsy on the heart, see why it died. And then, through the help of God and the Holy Spirit, perhaps put some life back into that heart. For out of the heart proceed these things this morning, murders and adulteries and such. From we find over, if we go on to the 15th chapter of Matthew, we find where these things come from that we're studying, that out of the heart this morning, we find the heart is mentioned in this one verse here about committing sin in the heart. But actually, it's long conceived before, as James tells us, you know, when lust has conceived, you know, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. We generally use our other Bible when we're teaching or ministering. Decided to bring one this morning that doesn't fall apart. The pages fall out and everything else, so we brought a different one. It's the same translation. It's just a different Bible. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21. You have heard that it's been said of them of old time. They had the scriptures read to them in the synagogue every Sabbath day. They knew the scriptures. And it even goes beyond that when he talks about murder. These things that spring out of the heart. The Pharisees, they would take these things as far as a letter, perhaps back there in Exodus 20, is it this first here, the sixth commandment here, and then the seventh commandment. When you get down further, it was about the adultery. But I want to go to the eye and the heart this morning, or the eye and the hand. The heart this morning, it's out of the heart. God told Noah, when he came out of the ark, you know, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Back in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. For in the image of God made he man. So this morning, you know, murder can be directly. The Pharisees, you know, thought these things, you know, just to the extent that it said there, but Jesus here, the one that gave the law, is the interpreter of it, and no better interpreter of it than the one that gave it way back there in the beginning. But man was made in the image of God, so therefore we need to have respect unto all mankind, no matter who they are or how they've fallen or their race, color, or whatever. They're all made in the image of God, and we need to have respect for that. Yes, I know there's a lot of, been a lot of, you can't close your eyes or your ears to what's going on in the world today, you know, and the sin that is rampant and the wars and so on. Of course, a lot of people bring those things right into their living room by way of technology. We prefer not to do that. We prefer our home as our castle, as our refuge from this world. and keep those things on the outside. It's enough that you go forth in this world every day to face what you face. Yes, life is precious. I used to know an old elderly man from Upper Michigan, and he spent time in the Justice Department. He got in shootouts with gangs back in the 30s, and he said it always made him sick. It was a sickening feeling when he had to gun somebody down, see him die. Life is precious this morning. Those lives were precious. I had to think about that day back in June 6th of 44. The farm boys from America got off those ships at Normandy. The Nazis gunned them down. They filled whole fields with the graves and put those little white crosses up. Life is precious, but we're against murder this morning, whether it's direct or indirectly, or however it comes. We wouldn't even feel right to be a mercenary or a helper in a battlefield dragging off the wounded, because life is precious, and we wouldn't have no part of it directly or indirectly. Life this morning. Yes, what leads to murder? Well, it's anger. That's the first thing that happened to Cain. You know, Cain became angry, and then murder followed. You know, if it's down in the heart, if it's in the heart, you know, you hate your brother, you're a murderer, you see, already. And the heart, it's where it is. And he goes on and lists a number of things, and I'm not really going to dwell so much on that. I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Yes, it's, you say you have cause. Yeah, well, I suppose when the little children at Nickel Mines were gunned down, it could cause some anger to rise up within of such a deed. Life is precious. I had to think of the little Amish girl. She said to the gunman, said, let the little one go. Shoot me. Yeah. Life, it's very precious. It's very fragile, is it not? We need to praise God for the little bit of time we've had on this side of eternity. You even say to your brother Raker, you know, it's a vain, well, I don't think there's anybody here this morning that's probably guilty of that. You're in danger of the, if you're without a cause, you're in danger of the judgment. Meet that 23 member of the, that they had back then to decide murder cases and then execute them or whatever. Each one of these things, as you go down, there's a step down and a worsen the punishment here as we find these three things. The Jews had three methods of punishment, beheading and stoning and burning in the valley of the son of Hinnom, which was used only in rare cases. We find here each one is a step down to a worse punishment. Somebody recently said to me when I was talking about sin, a neighbor, he said, well, he said that all sin was sin and so forth. I said, there's sins that are greater than others. I said, you can't lump them all together. In a sense, yes. I said, Jesus said, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Yes, there are those sins that are greater than others. Those that murder here, are angry or whatever, danger of the judgment, this panel that sat in judgment, whosoever is a racker shall be in danger of the council, out of the Sanhedrin. Whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. You say, well, Jesus used the word fool. Yes, he did, O fools and slow of heart. Paul used the word fool. But it's the temperament that it's used, you see, therein. It's the attitude, what's in this heart, that brings forth those things. That's what makes the difference. Probably Jesus and Paul used it in a right sense, though I personally probably wouldn't use it. But they use it. We need to be careful with that. If you come, you bring your gift to the altar, there remember that your brother hath aught against you, you leave it there. Someone said leave it there, so make sure you come back. And then be reconciled, and then come and offer thy gift. But you know, there's a lot about words this morning. Try to space these things out this morning to get in these thoughts. There's so many of them. But you know, whenever we're not careful, we're not guilty of sin, right, or a fool. But you know, there's a lot of idle words and slang words that a Christian perhaps can use. As I grew up, you know, one man said, I said something to him one time about his swearing, and he said, well, he grew up with it, and it's his cross he's got to bear. I don't think so. I don't believe so. This morning, there's victory. There's deliverance. I had a word in my language for years when the children would have been real little yet when I used to perhaps use the word doggone, you know, telling God to damn something. And I used to ride to work with Brother Ronnie Shank for about 4 years down the road here. Every time I used that word, he'd tell me to quit swearing. You know, I finally overcome that by the grace of God. And I can't say to this day that I ever heard my sons use it because they didn't hear me use it, you see. How we can influence others. And you think that you can't overcome something like that? You try it sometime. You got an idle word or a swear word or whatever that may only surface occasionally. You try to overcome that and see how easy it is. It's not easy. It can crop out at most unsuspecting time. You know, sometimes I get frustrated at doing something, and maybe I'll just burst out, you know, boy, oh boy, you know. It's idle words, you know. I've worked on that one for a number of years. Prayed with the brethren about it, you know. Try to overcome these things, you know. The Bible says you'll give account thereof in the day of judgment. God takes us at our word many times. You know, I remember visiting with Jimmy Collison. He was a little 12-year-old boy, brain burned out by drugs as a young boy, and he laid in his bed there close to Marsh Creek, and we'd go visit him and sing to him. And one brother said one time, well, he'll soon be kicking. Yeah. For 6 long years, till he was 18, all he did was kick the bottom of the bed, the end of the bed. Be careful what you say. Another individual said the day that so-and-so is elected governor of Texas, he said it'll be over my dead body. November 22nd, 1982, when that man was elected governor of Texas, that man's plane went down and he was killed with two of his girls from his children's home. God will take you at your word. You want one from the Bible? There was an individual went out one day, and he said, he wouldn't have had to say this, but he said, if I win this battle today, when I come back home, the first one, whatever, comes out of my house to greet me, I'll offer for a burnt sacrifice. He won the victory that day. And when he got back near his house, who came running out to meet him but a young lady playing a tambourine, dancing. Apparently she had heard that this victory was won. He said, alas, my daughter, you troubled me. My words troubled me. He was ensnared with his words. He had to keep his vow. Be careful What you say? Yeah. That's a rather sad account in the Bible, is it not, there of Jesse's daughter? Yes. Let's go on to the 29th verse. Thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And that's forever. Thou shalt not come out till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. And beloved, justice will never be satisfied. It'll never be satisfied to the outer and the utmost edges of the ages of eternity. Justice will never be satisfied. It's serious business this morning. I thought it was rather serious last week. You know that there's no remedy for unsavory salt. We follow the same lesson up there as folks here. I thought if anybody ever preached some powerful messages, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now give no hope for salt that has fallen off. How serious it is this morning, this walk we have with God this morning. Yes, if thy right eye offend thee, eye is precious. Would you rather lose your eyesight or your hearing? I know a preacher out in Bedford County, his hearing's gone. It's gone. How sad. Eyes are precious. What was it, one of those blind ladies, the poet said? She said, you see a man-made world, but I see a God-made world. She never had her eyesight in this life. There was a couple of those individuals in the past that were blind. The singer, the one that gave us as many hymns, Fanny Crosby, perhaps Helen Keller was blind also. But what about the left eye and the left hand? Well, perhaps we can take it deeper than that. You know, it's talking about living the crucified life this morning. About the eye this morning. I'll just give it as it comes to me this morning. It's not just the brother, you know, whose right eye might offend him. Joseph was down there in Egypt, you know, there was his mistress' eyes were on him. Now there was Samson's eyes, and there was King David's eyes. Thank God, you know, King David, you know, humbled himself. That was one thing Saul didn't. And that's why King David found repentance, though his sin was greater than that of Saul. Saul would not humble himself. He would not get to that place, you know, where that heart this morning was broken. The eyes, you know, man, need to live that crucified life. Remember Brother Harry Sellers preaching back in 1971 in a revival, and he preached about her ears and her eyes and so forth, you know, being crucified. I believe it was up at Marsh Creek. We were members here at the time. We went up there to that meeting. What are eyes, you know, the inlet, you know, I had to think of it. Thought comes to me, you know, some people go to Africa and some of them see lions and elephants and tigers and so on. Other people will see the souls of men. It's all what you want to see. You know, the eye, the inlet of the eye. Surely he's speaking here, of course, of the crucifixion of the old man. God's eyes, what's he see? He's seen wickedness in the days of Noah. Lot's eyes, Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, and he looked down towards Sodom, and I guess he's seen wealth and prosperity, and I don't know, affluence or whatever, down there in Sodom. But when God's eyes looked down there, he'd seen a place that was to be destroyed. What a difference, you know. Some individuals went out one day to look over the land. And They came back with their report, and some of them said, the most of them, eight of them, said, we can't take it. It's impossible. Too many giants in the land. But there was two other individuals, though, as their eyes looked over the land, they came back, they had a different report. They said, we're well able to take it. Let us go up at once and possess it. What a difference, you know. Eyes can see what one sees and another sees. Joseph was down there in Egypt for many years, down there, and one day his brothers went down, and to make a long story short, one day they showed up at elderly brother Jacob's house, and they went in to see their father, and they said, Joseph's yet alive. And he said, I don't believe it. Then he saw something. The Bible says that when Jacob saw the wagons that Joseph sent up, the spirit of Jacob revived. It revived him. Just what he saw, you know, with those eyes. You know, there's some scriptures in the Bible that have hands and heart and eyes and so on, different ones, and have them in the same verse. I had to think of that, the writer in Lamentations. There's a couple places there. He has the hands and the heart in the same verse, and he has the eyes and the heart in the same verse. He said one place there, he says in Lamentations 3:5, he says, mine eye affecteth my heart. Now as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Yeah, you can't, you know, that reminded me of somebody that said many years ago that you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from nesting in your hair. Yes. You overcome. Beloved, there's such a thing as men sinning, and there's others that tempt to sin. You see? Men sin, but devils tempt to sin. Those young ladies and so forth need to be careful how they adorn themselves, you see, that they don't tempt others to sin. I'll never forget. That even reminds me of many years ago. Yes, I was young at one time. I mean, I look at it anymore, but I was, actually. And I was down at York Hospital, and I took a dump truck load of ground or stone in there. They were adding parking levels or something to the hospital. You know how it is. A lot of nudity and what have you, nakedness around about everywhere, but I'd never forget, I was going out across the parking lot there, and there came two young ladies across the parking lot. They were pictures of holiness. They had their bodies adorned, you know, fully, completely. They looked happy, joyful. What a difference, you know. See all the evil around you, but then there's a bright spot, you know, that brightens up your day. And it's a blessing, you know. See such, you know, though it may be getting was less and less. Perhaps we're blessed in this part of the country yet to still have some separated peoples about us that adorn themselves rightly. Yes. Right hand. Songwriter said, let me find a place at the Savior's right hand. We want to live for him this morning. The eyes, how precious they are. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it's profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Do you realize that every part of the body is going to suffer in hell? Some people cannot refrain from sin for a little while in this life, can't discipline themselves, but if they would consider how long they're going to lie in eternity in a lake of fire, you see. If they would only consider that this morning. Thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, from the God of his salvation. Yes, clean hands, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Blessed are the pure in heart, as you studied back in the Beatitudes. Yes, pure. That means unmixed. In other words, when you raise up the tank on the milk tank and you turn the hose in there, that milk is no longer pure. It's mixed, or whatever you mix. It's no longer the pure thing. Have pure thoughts this morning, pure motives. Pure ambitions as we go through life. Yes. Hands. The Father's hand. No man shall be able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Somebody has said you can jump out. It's not a place of eternal security necessarily, from John chapter 10 I quoted from. Hand. In good hands, some say when they transfer over a young lady to a young man, they're in good hands. Hands. I think of a powerful hand in my youth. My one uncle had huge hands, and my father had huge hands in his youth, and his working days made mine look small. I used to kind of dread haircutting time. I guess father did too. I guess he didn't like it. He gave us teddy bears, I guess, so he didn't have to do it for a while again. But if you were down the line two or three, believe me, those clippers got hot. And how did he hold you? He put that giant hand down over your head, and you could squint and everything else, but you weren't going nowhere. You were in your father's hand. You know, never forget that. Yeah. The hand of the hand of the Lord. Yes. The hand of the Lord. How shall man lift up his heart unto the Lord? The lamentation writer says, with his hands will I lift up my heart unto the Lord. Hands. You know, I had to think, a thought come to me. You know, there was one day that, yes, she didn't present herself too well before the world either, and I trust nobody here following that example. She tarred her head, you know, and decked herself up and painted herself and so on and looked out of her window. One looked up and said to the, was it Jehu? Said to three eunuchs walked out or so, it was three or so, and he said, throw her down. They did. Later on, when they went to bury this wicked woman, what did they find? Oh, they found the palms of her hands and the soles of her feet, and they found her skull. You know, if you were to define this thing of heart this morning, it's something inward, you know, and it's something that, you know, the mind, you know, he's not talking about this physical organ in here, but what man is made of, what he's, you know, in, you know. And they didn't even bother burying her, by the way. They just, I guess, took it out and it was dung on the face of the earth. Old wicked Jezebel. Sin, it's a destroyer. Sin has wreaked havoc in many a place across the world today. Clean hands this morning, a clean heart. David, when he repented in Psalms 51, said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. I had to think, when wife and I were in Alabama in 73, we went to a Nazarene church one. We went to different churches down there, but I remember the one minister as he brought the message. His message was on the psalmist where he said, my heart is fixed. Well, yes, he'll fix it up, but he'll give you a new one. Ezekiel says, you know, he'll give you a new heart. The old one apparently isn't worth fixing up. That'll give you a new heart, you know, a new spirit within. Yes. Reminded me of the message 3 years ago. We were up in Maine, and Brother Merv Keller brought the message there and that morning. And it was keeping pure in an impure age. Keeping pure in an impure generation, or whatever, however it was titled. That's basically the thought, keeping ourselves pure. Because as we leave this world, that's the way it's going to be. The Revelator says if you go out filthy, you're going to be filthy still. If you go out, you know, holy, you'll be holy still, righteous and so forth. That's the way it's going to be. The tree falls, you know. It's going to lie. We sing a hymn sometimes that says, give me thy heart, says the Savior of man. Taken out of the scriptures, of course, from Proverbs 23 and 26, where he says, give me thy heart. Give me thine heart. Need to give it to the Lord. Turn it over to God. Yes. Had to think of that one hymn that we sing sometimes. I did write a little bit of it down. Most of it's etched in my heart. It kind of puts a capstone or whatever on the salts this morning of the heart and the eye and the hand, which we want to turn around and use for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I begat these thoughts and meditations, I had to think of this thought, you know, is Jesus Christ the center of your life? Is Jesus Christ the center of your life this morning? And perhaps somewhere along the way we can all associate with that little hymn from, I believe, 25 in the Green Book, but he says, have you by temptation often conquered Ben? Has a sense of weakness brought distress within? Christ will sanctify you if you claim his best in the Holy Spirit. He will give you rest. Parts of some other verses of that hymn goes something like, do unholy feelings struggle in your breasts? Bring your case to Jesus. He will give you rest. Are you by remorse or sense of guilt depressed? Come right on to Jesus. He will give you rest. I know there's struggles all through life, but nevertheless, there are victories, there are deliverances. And, it's been written on the tombstone, at rest. I realize that, but there is nevertheless yet a rest for the people of God. You don't have to go through life, you know, lusting and going on, you know, I had to think of it this way, and excuse the expression this morning, but I think some people, instead of following after youthful lust, would have been better off if they took up golfing or something. You know. Yeah, they should have found something else to do. Follow after those things, you know, that war against the soul. What vanity, you know. Even James, I think, used the word, O vain man. You know, the things that are vanity, this morning's hour, and how we need to be turned about, you know. I had to think, you know, the Apostle Paul, he was one of those, you know, that just took it all so far, you know, the sixth commandment, perhaps. One day he even consented to the death of Stephen. But, you know, he got turned about and seen things differently, did he not, later on. It reminded me, perhaps, of some of his words from Romans chapter 7. He said, I hadn't known sin but by the law. I had known lust, except the law it said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, just, and good. I had to think, you know, even the laws of our land, whether atheists, unbelievers like it or not, are based on the Ten Commandments, are they not? We've got 30,000 laws to enforce Ten Commandments. Yeah, across the land. I suppose that buzzer was for me to get down, to wind this down this morning. But I might just close with a thought. We sing another hymn sometimes, you know, and it says, grace subdues my lust within. But I had to put a little bit more on that. I thought, you know, a little bit of times of fasting that I've done in my life, you know, you're really determined to have victory over something. You know, fasting can pave the way, you know. Grace can have a wonderful work. Grace can finish the work. Grace can bless you. Grace can... Yes, grace does subdue my lust within. But thank God for the Word of God. One day, beloved, when life and its toils are over, and you know, and as it says there, the blessed in heart, you know, these pure in heart are going to see God, and they'll never, ever leave His presence again. Never lose sight of the Creator, the God that saved them. Never. Can you imagine that this morning? That's what it's all about this morning. That's what we want to do. We want to make heaven home. Jesus has made the way. We need to accept it. Follow therein. Walk therein. And we'll find rest for our souls. May God bless you this morning.